Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. As Andrew Cuomo tries to fend off a primary challenge from Cynthia Nixon, he's embroiled in two pretty interesting fights, one of which may be politically good for him, the other may be more mixed. Let's look at both of them now, involving Cuomo and the NRA and Cuomo and the cable company Spectrum. We'll look at them both in political terms and on their merits. The NRA and Cuomo are embroiled in a lawsuit in which the NRA claims Cuomo policies would call them financial ruin, to which Cuomo says,
If the NRA goes away, I'll remember the NRA in my thoughts and prayers. How about that?
How about that? And about the cable company Spectrum, the governor and re-election candidate wants Spectrum to lose its license to operate in New York. That's causing a more complicated set of headlines, including whether he's acting like Trump when it comes to the news media. We'll get to both things. With me now are Laura Namias, reporter for Politico New York. She also writes the daily Politico New York newsletter, or playbook, which you can sign up as an email newsletter, sign up for. And Dan Clark, Albany reporter for the New York Law Journal. Laura, welcome back. Dan, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's do the NRA first, and one more clip of the governor about the NRA.
Two different points. On the insurance that they are selling, I don't think there's any question, but that is illegal and violative of public policy. They're making a different point, which is I have been a longtime opponent of the NRA. I plead guilty.
He pleads guilty. Dan, can you explain the insurance issue?
Yeah, so the insurance issue is over this thing called CarryGuard. And just to go back a little bit, that's not entirely what the lawsuit is about, but the CarryGuard is basically an insurance that somebody could buy to provide some coverage for either self-defense costs or if they use a gun and it causes damage in some way. So that insurance would provide, if it was still able to be sold in New York, it would provide if you needed a lawyer or if you needed therapy for some incident that really caused some trauma to you. So what the governor is saying, what DFS has said, is that this carry guard is actually against the state law. And that's because there's a part of state law that says basically you can't have coverage for an event that happens out of a crime. So the NRA will say, well, if you're using it in self-defense, we don't know if that's a crime. But Cuomo's argument is this product is illegal in New York, and that's why these consent orders were entered into with these two insurance companies to stop selling CarryGuard.
Is that a slam dunk argument that you can't have insurance to insure you against damages arising from a crime?
No, I mean, I certainly can't say the legality of it. I'm not a judge, but I don't think that it's necessarily a slam dunk argument for the state. If that's in state law, I mean, and I've read the statute, it says you can't have it arising out of a crime. If somebody got this insurance and say that they had a gun in their home and somebody was, if they thought somebody was breaking into their home and they used a gun against them, and then for some reason illegal action was caused against the shooter of that gun, that wouldn't necessarily be a crime, what they were doing. It might have been a little negligent, but it may not be a crime. So that doesn't really fit into the statute for some people. Of course, there are others where they do commit a crime with a gun. Maybe they shoot someone without reason. In that situation, that insurance would be legal under the statute as I am interpreting it.
And listeners, our phones are open for this segment. Any NRA members want to call in and weigh in? Is this an issue that you and your fellow NRA members are talking about a lot in and out of New York State? Anybody on the other side of that issue can call in too. Anybody who works for Spectrum Cable, welcome to call in 212-433-9692, or anyone else on either of these two fights that Governor Cuomo is embroiled in right now, 212-433-9692. Before we bring Laura in, Dan, you said that the insurance product that the NRA sells is not the only thing that the lawsuit is about. Give us the big picture on the lawsuit and the other items?
Yeah, so the carry guard is really the result of the actions that the NRA is suing over. They're suing over, if you rewind back to February, when we had the Parkland shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. After that, you'll remember that Cuomo was very adamant about opposing the NRA, and the NRA is alleging, they're claiming that the Department of Financial Services, which is the state's insurance regulator, they're alleging the NRA is that the DFS contacted some insurance companies in backroom deals and made private phone calls to them and basically said, you need to stop doing business with the NRA or your reputation is at risk or we're going to come after you. So after the shooting, after Cuomo was coming out strongly against the NRA, Lockton, which is one of the largest insurance providers in the country and in the world, called the NRA and said, hey, we are not going to be doing business with you anymore because we're afraid that the DFS is going to cut all of our business in New York, so we're going to have to stop the business. It wasn't until 3 months after that that Lockton actually entered into a consent order with the DFS where the agency actually fined them for selling CarryGuard. But in that order as well with the DFS, Lockton agreed to stop selling all NRA products, not just CarryGuard. And some of those NRA products may actually be legal in New York State, some of which where if you're a hunter and you're using a gun, you shoot and maybe it goes across the forest and it hits somebody's truck in somebody's property. So you would be liable for that damage, but you could purchase this property that is sponsored by the NRA to have coverage so you don't have to pay that out of pocket. So the NRA is saying these state actions and basically Cuomo and Maria Vullo, who is the superintendent of the DFS, they've encouraged these companies to stop doing all business with the NRA. That's caused them to have financial harm and will cause them to have significant financial harm mm-hmm. in the future. It's that the drop of the carry guard was really the inciting incident for a legal action.
Got it. And DFS, for those of you who may have gotten lost in the alphabet soup, is the Department of Financial Services of New York State, which regulates things like insurance products. So, Laura Namias from Politico, this is a legal question. Is it also a political question?
Absolutely. You heard the sound bites from the governor where he sounds almost gleeful at the idea of the NRA being put out of business. It's not at all clear that what he's done in New York State would put it out of business, although the group is claiming that there is substantial material harm. They didn't provide any real details about their actual financial situation, but this is really red meat, not only for the liberals in the Democratic Party, but for a large swath of it. Stricter gun control rules are widely supported by Democrats all across the country. So you've seen the governor go on this media blitz in the past couple of days to say sort of pithy things about the potential death of the NRA.
Like the clip we played, if the NRA goes away, it'll be in my thoughts and prayers.
Right, which is a play on the very common response to these school shootings from politicians and the NRA, where instead of offering any kind of legislative solution or curbs on gun availability, they say that the victims of the shootings are in their thoughts and prayers.
Now, as for the timing of this, if I understood Dan's timeline correctly, this all started after the Parkland shooting, which is just this year, when Cuomo obviously knew he was in a re-election year and maybe a battle in a Democratic primary. So is this a set of regulatory actions that we can say is likely pegged to the re-election, or has this been going on longer?
Well, the governor has been involved in efforts to curb guns and impose new gun control restrictions in New York State for years. Actually, after the Sandy Hook school shooting in, I believe it was 2012 already?
12, I think, that's right.
It's been a long time. He was the first governor in the country to pass a new set of gun control laws called the SAFE Act, I think in early January of 2013, and he took a ton of heat for it. There were rallies outside the Capitol, and he kind of let it alone for a little while and didn't bring it up as a political strong point, but the more shootings there have been, the more he has referred back to his actions to pass the SAFE Act, which he forced through a Republican-led state Senate as a political strength of his. So I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that this is pegged to this campaign year.
Right. And that's one of the things he's running for re-election on, certainly that the things that are so much in the national debate right now, a ban on assault weapons, on large magazines that can shoot many bullets before having to reload, also the universal background checks. These are things that he pushed through at some political cost in the state of New York already, so this is hardly a new issue for him. Dan, just one other thing on the legal questions before we take some phone calls and also go on to the Spectrum versus Andrew Cuomo and Andrew Cuomo versus Spectrum cable question. Is there a First Amendment issue in support of the Second Amendment? Did I see something in your writing about the NRA claiming that their free speech rights are being violated in addition to potentially people's Second Amendment gun rights?
Well, so the lawsuit itself is actually entirely about the First Amendment rights. The argument for the NRA is that since the state is causing them to lose money and could cause them to potentially lose a lot more money in the future, that them as a lobby group and an advocacy group has been stifled. They're arguing that without these funds, without this money, they won't be able to provide services to their members, and they won't be able to advocate and really push public policy in New York State where they have before. Of course, we saw with the SAFE Act that their advocacy really didn't work out, but they're arguing that if they have less money to spend in New York, that means that they have less resources to make their position heard. And part of their argument is that if there was another group that this happened to, say for some reason we had a governor that saw Planned Parenthood in a negative light or something like that, and said, everybody, please stop donating to Planned Parenthood, they may have trouble with their free speech rights as well. So their whole lawsuit is actually based on coercion from the governor and from the DFS to infringe on their free speech rights, kind of around the whole financial aspect of this.
Wouldn't the national NRA be able to throw a lot of money into New York if they felt there was a reason to for lobbying on one thing or another, even if the New York chapter of the NRA is financially hurt?
I think they absolutely could, but I think the NRA is saying that they don't want to have to do that. They want to have the opportunity to make this money in New York State, especially because in upstate New York, which is about half the state's population, there are a lot of hunters. There are a lot of gun rights advocates up in upstate New York. So it's not like their market in this state is small for these products. They do gain a significant amount of money here. And if they don't have to go to the national NRA and say, help us out in New York, I don't think that they want to have to do that.
Hugo in Orange County, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling. Hello.
Thank you as well, and good morning to everyone. I had a question related to the carry guard insurance. So I consider myself a member of the NRA, and I wonder whether there can be an argument made that if the governor of New York can penalize insurance for carrying a weapon or using a weapon in those circumstances in New York, whether a governor in Oklahoma, for example, can penalize insurance companies that try to give coverage for abortion, let's say, below a certain weak threshold that may not be recognized in other parts of the state, and whether that kind of interstate commerce question factors at all into the NRA's lawsuit.
Dan, you understand the question?
I think I do, and that's a really interesting question, and I think that is kind of the widespread implication of this whole case. Is that the big question, if you take the names out of it, is can the state try to influence businesses to stop doing agreements with some kind of advocacy group or other aspects here? I think in the situation that you're talking about in a state like Oklahoma, however, if you're talking about an abortion provider, I think that's a lot different than the NRA, whereas the NRA is claiming free speech rights here. I don't know if the abortion provider would be able to make the same case to defend a free speech right, because that's more of a medical issue. I don't think that the litigation would be the same.
Hugo, thank you very much. Ari in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I want to say that You know, in some of the press releases about this story, the NRA admitted that they overspent in the 2016 election. They spent like $50 million, $30 million on Trump alone.
Their candidate got elected, so they may not think they overspent. And we'll ask Maria Butina about that,
but,
too.
But anyway, they spent a whole lot of money on the 2016 election. And the other issue is they were fear-mongering throughout the Obama presidency that he was going to come steal your guns, even though gun laws got looser during his administration. The national parks rule was repealed. You can bring guns into national parks now. So they were still winning during Obama's presidency, and gun sales were skyrocketing. And then when Trump won, all the gun nuts were like, "Oh, okay, we don't have to. You know, we're not afraid of anything now. We can stop buying the guns." So their sales dropped. So you know, they're sort of victims of their own propaganda. It's not New York that's at fault; it's them.
Ari, thank you very much. Bob in Connecticut, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I was a victim of a home invasion. I was severely beaten. I have visible scars. And I managed to shoot the armed attacker. He went to prison for over a decade. And while he was there, he sued me for his injuries. Now, I would love to have had insurance back then to defend myself against lawsuits from felons in prison.
Bob, I hear you. Thank you very much. So, Dan, what would the governor say to Bob? Or, Laura, because it might be a political question, you can answer this question, too. Maybe you first, Laura.
I don't know. I would love to hear what the governor has to say to someone like Bob. I don't know of any other insurance product that would cover the kind of claims that Bob is talking about. Maybe something out there exists.
Dan, anything on that?
If I know the governor as well as I do, covering him for the past 4 or 5 years, I think what I would say to Bob, and this is just from Andrew Cuomo's voice, is I would probably say something along the lines of that person in jail shouldn't sue Bob, and maybe we should create a law to make it that kind of litigation would not be possible.
If they were convicted of the crime.
Correct. Yeah. If the facts were as Bob is describing them, that this was a home invasion, and I'm not familiar with what Bob was being sued over, so I can't really say the details of it, but perhaps maybe in New York,
right,
Governor Cuomo would advocate against something like that.
All right. We will see what happens with that lawsuit. Dan Clark, Albany reporter for the New York Law Journal, thank you very much for joining us. And after a break, we'll stay with Laura Namias from Politico and talk about the other fight that Governor Cuomo is embroiled in against Spectrum Cable. Stay tuned. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we talk about two legal and political battles that Governor Cuomo is embroiled in, coincidence or not, as he runs in the Democratic primary against Cynthia Nixon for, from his standpoint, his own renomination. So we've been talking about the one with the NRA. Now we're going to go on to the one with the cable company Spectrum. Still with us is Laura Namias, reporter for Politico New York and author of their daily New York Playbook, which is an email that you can sign up for. And Laura, what is the governor saying about Spectrum?
Well, this is really two sides of the same coin, I think, the fight with the NRA and the fight with Charter Spectrum. So just to lay it out for you a little bit, the governor has been fighting with Charter Spectrum for more than a year and a half at this point, actually. This is not a new fight. And it's not just him fighting. Mayor Bill de Blasio has been fighting. The city controller, the state controller, congressional candidates, you name it. People are weighing in, press releases, back and forth. It stems from 2 years ago, the state approved a merger between Time Warner Cable and Charter Spectrum, a huge merger. And as a condition of that merger, Charter Spectrum agreed to expand broadband internet access to some underserved areas of upstate New York.
And
Go ahead. At the same time, about a year and a half ago, thereabouts, members of the IBEW union who work for Charter Spectrum went on strike over contract negotiations. The company wanted to move them away from union benefits and put things into 401ks, and there's a number of other pieces. They've been on strike this entire time, and periodically there have been flare-ups. Politicians have held rallies. Memorably, last fall, both Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio held rallies on different ends of the Brooklyn Bridge, an illustration of their constant feuding. But since then, what has happened is that the Cuomo administration has charged, through the Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities in New York State, that Charter Spectrum is not actually expanding broadband the way that it promised to, that they're counting addresses as places where they've expanded broadband that shouldn't be counted, such as addresses in New York City, which doesn't count as an underserved rural population. And this fight has just been heating up. And so recently, I think it was last week.
I think so, too.
The Public Service Commission voted to revoke Charter's license to operate in New York. And they gave the company 60 days to find another operator to provide their services.
Just 60 days?
Just 60 days.
Meaning what? That the state has already decided that it's gonna force Charter Spectrum to get out of the cable business, and people who subscribe to that cable service. It was Time Warner. It fairly recently became Spectrum. It's going to change to some other owner?
Right. Well, they've been ordered to continue providing the service while they find another operator. Here's the thing, though. Observers and political analysts, market analysts, think that this is not going to happen, that it's going to end up in a lawsuit, that Charter will sue. They haven't said as much. Obviously not wise to comment on a lawsuit before you file it. But people think that this is not actually going to happen, and that what is happening from the state's end is entirely politically motivated, or that it is political theater in the run-up to the November election.
And can you explain what happened between Cuomo and New York One Albany reporter Zach Fink? I should say, we probably should both say, by way of full disclosure, that we've been guests to do political analysis on New York One many times.
Yes.
And here are three different headlines that kind of take different angles on it, almost competing angles, once we bring the New York Times example into it. From HuffPost, headline, Andrew Cuomo attacks parent company of reporter who asked tough question. Daily Beast, Donald Trump talks about a war on the press. Andrew Cuomo is waging one. But the New York Times, Cuomo attacked New York's largest cable company. Its channels ignored the news. So we actually went looking this morning to be able to play on the show the interaction where New York One Albany reporter Zach Fink asked Cuomo something about a campaign fundraising issue. And the governor said what?
He pivoted. He was being asked about donations made to his campaign by this healthcare company that's under investigation right now. It's a very perfectly legitimate question. And instead of answering it directly, Cuomo accused the reporter, Zach Fink, longtime Albany reporter at this point, of himself being a fraud in the service of a fraud, perpetrating the fraud of his parent company.
Right, and he didn't quite say that Zach Fink himself was perpetrating a fraud. The quote was, speaking of fraud, Charter Spectrum has been executing fraud on the people of this state. You are defrauding, and there he did,
you
as
fraud.
If he was saying it personally, you are defrauding the people of the state. That's a fraud.
Really unusual. And the actual audio of it, when I listened to it, it's jarring to hear the governor speaking to a reporter that way. He's obviously not responsible for the business decisions of his parent company, and he was asking a totally unrelated question about a perfectly valid subject. But the governor has a history of some interesting interactions with the reporters who cover him. Let's to put it lightly.
Right. And certainly by my lights as a reporter, if I ask the governor about a campaign fundraising issue that was legitimate. In fact, in this case, Zach Fink's question was one that we've talked about on this show about whether the governor was artificially inflating the number of small donation donors to his campaign to look like he's really grassrootsy, mm-hmm. like Cynthia Nixon. If I asked him that question and he turned around and raised some issue having to do with WNYC, well, that would obviously be evading the question.
Yes.
Even if there's a legitimate issue pertaining to my employer.
Absolutely. And it's not the first time that the governor has brought this up, too. He mentioned the skirmish between the PSC and Charter Spectrum in a previous incident, too. And people, reporters, quietly for weeks now have been interpreting this as a threat to Zach, who has been doing some very thorough coverage of the governor's race, which the governor seems particularly anxious about his primary challenge from Cynthia Nixon. And there are people who are interpreting this, the governor's remarks, as not just related to the actual substance of the dispute between Charter Spectrum and PSC and whether or not broadband access is being expanded, but his way, a not-so-veiled threat against Zach that he might be in trouble himself.
And to the Daily Beast headline, Donald Trump talks about a war on the press. Andrew Cuomo is waging one. Are there any other instances?
Yes. I would draw people's attention back to, I don't remember what year it was, but Liz Benjamin, who reports for sister station of YNN up in Albany and is the host of a very popular...
Same company, like the New York one of Albany.
Of Albany, in the capital region. Someone fished out of the trash and handed it, I think, to or sent it to Ben Smith, now the editor in chief of BuzzFeed, a dossier about Liz Benjamin that was actually a compendium. It was written by someone in the Cuomo administration and had been taken to a meeting with her bosses at YNN, outlining what they said were her biased coverage of the Cuomo administration, highlighting little tiny inaccuracies in some articles, and the suggestion was it seemed like they were trying to get her fired for her coverage of the administration. She had been and has been a notably tough on the governor, but tough but fair, I should say. And this administration, I think, they are very concerned with their press coverage, and they can be sharply critical of their reporters covering them, and it is not beneath them to go over the reporters' heads to editors and even higher than that to complain about the coverage.
And have you reported on the Charter Spectrum end of this, the angle that was in the New York Times, that they did not air that exchange between their Albany reporter and the governor and did not report on the fact that this had taken place? The implication is that they don't want the criticism of their company aired.
I haven't reported on it personally, but I have spoken to some people within the station who want very badly to report on this issue and feel like they can't. It is notable that that New York One is not airing coverage of this fight. They certainly have every right to report on what is a substantive news issue, and I can't speak directly to the reason why that hasn't made it onto the air.
All right, listeners, they have background on two fights that Andrew Cuomo is having right now, one with Spectrum Cable and the other one with the NRA. Starting Monday on this show, Monday is August 13th. That is exactly 1 month before primary day in New York State, and we're going to be doing some intensive, in earnest coverage of the gubernatorial and other primaries beginning Monday here on The Brian Lehrer Show. So Laura Namias from Politico New York, I have a feeling we'll be talking in the not too distant future.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.